The world might indeed be a cursed circle. The snake swallowed its tail, and there could be no end, only an eternal ruination and endless devouring.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We're a new podcast updating you guys on some of TikTok's and the internet's most popular books with what you really want to know about them. I'm Casey.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Catherine. So the lay of the land is we're going to start with a non-spoilery discussion of the book we read this week, and then we'll give you kind of our ratings and our busy girl rating. Then we're going to give you a spoiler alert and go into a deep dive discussion questions of the book in its entirety. So for our sixth episode, we are tackling a book that I am sure you've seen all over TikTok and BookTok and your For You page. We are discussing Mexican Gothic by Silvia Moreno Garcia.
So this is our first book of spooky season, and we it achieved. So the book is a Gothic book, so already spooky. It is set in Mexico. The main character is from Mexico City, and it is set in the 1950s. And so the main character, Noemi, she gets this letter from her cousin, who just got married and moved away to a very small, like, remote town. And the letter basically reads, like, her cousin's gone crazy. And she's like, help me, they're keeping me here, the walls are talking, blah, blah, blah. So Noemi goes to visit Catalina and ends up staying at this house called High Place, where she now lives with Catalina's husband, his aunt and cousin, and his dad. And there's something sinister going on because Catalina is not right in the head, and there's really weird rules in the house. Like, it's all silent and quiet and cold, and it just gets kind of spooky. And it's kind of Noemi's adventure figuring out what's going on with Catalina and kind of getting caught in the crosshairs on her way.
Think House on a Hill.
Description. Think The Yellow Wallpaper. That's my favorite. I've been so excited. This book references so much Gothic fiction. If you're a fan, it's a really great read.
Yeah. If you're like me, you had no idea there was any references at all.
Yeah. Reference Rebecca, Jane Eyre kind of thing.
Oh, well, I got that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very Jane Eyre.
But if you don't know, The Yellow Wallpaper is like the first Gothic short story you read in any creative writing class. And it's about a woman who can't tell if she's going crazy or if the wallpaper's moving. So Catalina's first scene is very much based on this story. But first things first, reviews of the book. Did you guys find any good ones?
You go first, Catherine.
Okay.
You were the most excited for this book, I think.
Okay. And that's saying something, because I don't like Gothic fiction. I hated Frankenstein. That was like my first introduction, and I think it ruined me for the rest of Gothic fiction.
Yeah, sorry. That book does suck. I'm sorry.
I want to support female writers, but oh, I hated Frankenstein.
Jekyll and Hyde's about just as bad.
Great. So yeah. We love the things that were required to read for English class.
Okay. I'll say Frankenstein and Jekyll and Hyde, I both read for school, and I didn't hate either of them. I didn't love either of them, but I thought they were all right. So
I didn't hate either of them either. They're just way more fun when they're in Scooby-Doo episodes.
I DNF'd Frankenstein and just Spark Notes half of it. So
yeah, all right. So you were out.
I was very out of it. But anyway, so my review comes from Goodreads by the user named Chai, which I thought was great because we all love chai tea. So Mexican Gothic is a sublime work of post-colonial Gothic. It's a story that unsettled me so effectively, I found myself on more than one occasion helplessly desperate to claw my way out of my reading experience, to put a merciful distance between me and the words and the bleak and stifling horror that lies within. At the same time, however, I couldn't. The more I read, the more I wanted to read. Mexican Gothic had a solid grip on my attention, and she gave it 5 stars.
I'll go next. So mine's from Goodreads reader Jessica, and she gave the book 3 stars. It's kind of long, so bear with me, but I like it. Well, wasn't this just a spooky little story? I knew I should have saved this for next month, referencing spooky season, so we're on point. Fans of gothic stories will swoon over this. It's so atmospheric. The old mansion, the creepy family who lives there, the lush Mexican countryside. I was honestly really, really enjoying myself up until near the end. The turn of events was a little too unrealistic for me, I suppose. I wanted to gasp in shock, but I ended up just rolling my eyes. I know the way things play out won't bother some readers, and it does fit the feel slash vibe of the story. But something about it all was underwhelming for me, which is why I'm not rating this higher. But again, gothic fans will love this, and I have no problem recommending this to people wanting the spooky autumnal feel.
I disagree.
Okay. Yeah, I like the book much more than this person, but I also like their take. Yeah. I agree that if you aren't into like creepy, more like slow build novels, you probably won't like this book.
Yeah, I feel like that review read much more positive than its actual rating. She just had some issues with the climax.
And I had more problems getting into it. Like the first half of the book I felt was a little slow for me, and that's why I don't like have a perfect score for this book, but I loved the back half of it. I couldn't stop listening. And like the magical realism element was just so good to me. But I guess
I'll get to my review after this, but I felt like I was fairly on par with her thoughts.
That's interesting. I think we all had slightly different takes because I loved the beginning because I really liked Noemi. But the middle is, and I liked the end, but the middle is where I found myself being like, okay, let's get a little bit more hurrying it up. Anyway, my review, I went for a 1 star per usual. It says, it's from Shelley Shoemaker Calico. 1 star. Giving this 1 star because the writing was good in parts, which I don't understand why that means she's giving it 1 star, but whatever. I read this in book club because the young librarian said it was like Jane Eyre and other gothic novels. My face as I read the last third of this book was held in an almost permanent grimace with the occasional gag. I love sci-fi and sometimes horror. However, this book was so bad. Definitely not my cup of tea. That's a spoiler. I found it really funny that she was like, the last half of this book, my face was stuck in a grimace and sometimes a gag.
Literally, not in a bad way. I realized as I read most of the book in one night because I couldn't stop reading it. And I realized when I finished reading it that my face was like I was grimace. My lip was curled up. I was like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Not in a bad way, though. Like, I didn't mind, but it was, yeah.
That's what I like, the creepiness. But there is like one scene in specific that we are probably going to talk about later that I just felt my whole body shudder. Like, I felt myself like retch. It was so uncomfortable.
I will say it's a lot worse listening to it. So I listened to it on audiobook, and the descriptions of, I'm guessing we're thinking of the same scene, I was just like in my car, like, no.
Yeah.
I read like the first third or so while I was camping in the woods over the weekend. And that definitely, you know, I woke up to like misty woods and definitely put me in the feel of this book because in the misty woods for the most part, and I was like, that just made it kind of creepier.
Yeah, if you have quite like a book imagination and creativity mind, do not read this at night. This will create nightmares for you.
I read it at night, no nightmares, just unsettled stomach.
Well, so people seem to agree with, I think, around what we are at. So the overall Goodreads rating is 3.5 out of, or 3.7 out of 5, excuse me. And then the Amazon review is at 4.2 out of 5, which Amazon always seems to be a little higher than Goodreads. So do y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
I do actually. Yeah. I think my quality rating is probably a 3.8, which I know is like very specific, but I feel like it's just under a 4 for me, but it's way better than a 3, and so I feel the need to stick with a 3.8.
I'm kind of like you. I gave it a 3 on Goodreads because I didn't feel like giving it a 4. My reasoning being like the writing, spectacular, really great. I found it hard to grasp on the sort of magical realism, unrealisticness of the ending, but it was magical realism, so whatever, like that's fine. My main issue, not even an issue, it was just disgusting. Like, I didn't know. I don't know. I guess I didn't expect it to be quite so deep in the horror genre.
See,
See, I
I
ex
liked all that.
yeah, I expected it and liked it, but I also watch Game of Thrones, so I guess I've been primed and prepped for these kind of things. Yeah, I
Hey,
agree.
Game of Thrones even made me gag every once in a while.
Oh yeah, for sure. There are
Yeah.
points where I have to look away.
It's good, but it makes you gag.
Yeah. I'll say though too, the beginning half of the book is a lot more creepy, building tension, kind of docile. And then the second half is like trigger warning on trigger warning. Like it, and then in the last 20%, it's like really steps up the ante. And so I figured that would happen because that's kind of like Jane Eyre is mentioned several times in the book, and that's how Jane Eyre is, if you've read Jane Eyre. So I felt like the author did that on purpose as a reference to the genre. But if you're not expecting it, I can see it being a little
Yeah,
out
so along the trigger warnings, so on StoryGraph, you can fill in like warnings to readers and there's categories. This one pretty much hits all of them: rape, murder, incest, miscarriage, mental illness, suicide. Yeah, it goes abuse,
Yeah.
like it goes on and on. So, like, just know what you're getting into before you read.
Yes. And I actually saw one negative review talking about how triggering the book is. I personally don't think that should be counted against the book.
No, you should know
But
what
you
you're
should
getting into.
know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just so everyone's aware ahead of time, there's like a lot of things that are potentially triggering.
Yeah. Like a book can be, have the trigger warnings and know what you're getting into, but like the author takes real care in writing these things, and it's very important to the plot and to the story arc. And so
Right.
I
It's
think it's
gothic
valid.
horror. Just
Yeah.
like know if you are someone who has an experience with one of those things and is triggered by them, maybe don't pick it up.
Yeah. And now some of our non-spoiler discussion cues. Is it more plot or character driven?
Plot.
Yep, plot.
Yeah, plot. Pretty obvious in this case.
Yeah,
It's a
the character
mystery.
stays the same,
Yeah.
but
Well, does she?
I mean, her core values don't change much.
She's also, her changing doesn't change the plot. It's
No,
kind of
not
like
at
the
all.
plot is out of her
I
hands. Yeah.
just, she's not a static character. That's what I
No,
mean.
she's not static,
No.
but I think she's firm in her beliefs.
Right. And it's definitely plot driven.
Yeah. And what about the pacing? I know, I think I finished it in 2, maybe 3 days. And the only reason I didn't finish it faster is because of like work and personal obligations. I would have finished it in a day if I could have.
I'm the exact same. I read most of it in one day, and the only reason I didn't do the whole thing is because I started it while I was on a camping trip and then I had work. So I could have sat down and read it easily in a day.
Yeah, I listened to it in 3. So I had some road trips and stuff like that, so I was driving a lot, but I also listened to it while I was working and doing like some random tasks at work, and I would just plug it in and that would be what I would listen to. So yeah, real quick.
Have you read anything else by this author? Or
I
did you
have
want?
not.
I don't know if they have other books, to be honest.
She actually just released another one.
I would read another book by her.
Yeah, I would snap it up. Does it look like horror?
I think she only writes gothic novels.
I love a gothic novel, so that's good. And of course, one of my favorite questions, do you think it could be a good TV show or movie? I think it would make a great movie, in my opinion.
I mean, if you like American Horror Story and that kind of thing, it's probably worth perusing on the TV.
I thought of this more as a movie, but it is actually being adapted into a TV series. It seems like every book we've read so far is being adapted into movie or TV. But yeah, Mark Consuelos and Kelly Ripa's production company has the rights to it, and they're working with Hulu to adapt it into a TV series. So
I will not be watching, because in no way do I want to have the pictures outside of my head.
I don't know.
I will.
I watch
100%
it.
Be watching. Yeah. Yes, I will 100% be tuning in. Ugh. I am on Catherine's team, though. I see it more as a movie, especially because so much of like the beginning and the middle of the book is building tension. I'm a little curious about how they're going to keep a TV show intriguing, but
yeah.
I'll let y'all know because I'm going to watch.
If it's like a mini series, I could see it, but I don't think that's probably what they would do with it.
I don't know. Hulu's king of the like mini series kind of thing. So
that's true.
So we kind of talked about the pacing. So going off that and how much we all devoured it, what's your busy girl rating?
My busy girl rating is probably, I think, a perfect 5. I think for someone in a time crunch, it's perfect. It's pretty short. It's a really quick read. It's easy to read. And it's an interesting book, and so I don't think there's any reason not to read it, to be honest. I highly recommend people putting it on their list.
Yeah, there's nothing like this book out there. It's one of a kind, but also pays homage to the genre.
My thoughts exactly. You took it out of my mind.
we're mind melding. Our communal brain spell is mind melding. But yeah, so it's a 5 for me as well. Pick it up on a Sunday, pick it up for the airplane. Great read.
I would also give it a 5. I was fairly busy and I still took the time to read it really, really fast. So,
period.
And did y'all have a favorite character?
It's hard to not say Noemi.
I know.
well, she's one of like really two, maybe three likable characters in the book.
Yeah, pretty much lots of villains in this story, so it would be hard to root for anyone but her. But there's other redeemable characters. I guess all of that is kind of a spoiler though.
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to hear y'all say Noemi because I absolutely love her as a main character, so period.
I do too. I think she's a really strong main character. So more props to the book. I guess we can tell people, because it's not a spoiler, she's this Mexican socialite. Her dad is this kind of self-made man, and so she's kind of new money, and getting into the whole like dinners and parties and dating the hot boys. But she's also really independent and really smart. And so one of the reasons she goes to check on Catalina is because her dad tells her that he'll help pay for her like actual college degree, not a women's college. This is the 1950s, remember?
No, her master's degree in anthropology.
Yes. Which can't be done at a women's school at the time. And so she's a really good mix of someone who's, you know, pretty and has a certain amount of vanity, but also someone who's really strong and really easy to connect with.
She's both likable and for that, and it's kind of portrayed as her character flaws, her vanity and her pride and her independence. And it's kind of fun to see how those both play out throughout the novel and how it's both a strength and a weakness.
Yeah, I could 100% see myself in her, and that's just, yeah, it's great.
I'm not hot enough to be her.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what.
I'm not stylish, fashionable enough to be Noemi.
I wish.
Yeah. For three women who are not even close to being socialites or wanting to be socialites, the fact that we all loved her is a statement.
Indeed.
And I will say, this book has some really good villains. I just don't want to spoil anything, but And I say villains
Yes.
plural because there are villains plural. So there are
Yeah.
some really devious, well-developed villains.
Facts. But yeah. Discovering who they are is a big part of the mystery, though. So check back in after you've read it. Because it's time for spoilers. Spoiler alert, also trigger warning, we are going to be discussing those things you mentioned earlier as we get deeper into the novel.
And the trigger I didn't mention earlier because I didn't want to spoil cannibalism.
Yep.
Yeah, that one really did throw me for a loop.
I mean, yeah, it
It
really came out of nowhere.
was literally like just mentioned briefly, and they were like, oh, okay. I guess that's fine.
Yeah, that was probably the one piece because all the other things I think really contribute to the novel and were purposeful. The cannibalism, which,
Unnecessary, absolutely unnecessary.
that was the one thing where I was like, this part did not need to be here.
Like, I understood it, but at the same time,
At
it would have
first, it
been fine
just
without it.
confused the heck out of me. I had to reread the section, like, what is the point of this? But it's explained
Hearing
later.
it's
I
even
don't
worse of just them eating a baby, and I'm like, oh my
know.
God.
Yeah. Well, okay. We kind of already did this question, but how did we can do part of it, I guess. So we've already discussed that we all love Noemi. Did y'all's opinions change of her as the novel went on? And did your opinions change on Catalina?
I kind of took the vibe I got from Noemi as like annoying at the beginning, which I think is what they wanted you to get. But I quickly fell in love with her. So, yeah, my opinion changed, but it changed fast. My opinion on Catalina did not change. She's kind of a
Really?
weak sauce character.
Oh, I disagree.
She has one badass moment and goes back to being like numb.
She, okay. So the reason I respected her is because she had been living with the mold longer than Noemi, and Noemi had reason to think that something was already going on. Catalina didn't. And so she walked into the situation unawares. Plus, it seems like there's a certain biological component that there's a certain biological component that you can't necessarily help how affected by the mold you are. And so I grew in respect for Catalina in the fact that she still fought really hard to like get help and to figure out this drink she had to stay alive and even when she, because it's actually Catalina who ends up striking the first blows to kill the main villain, the grandfather. And so she ends up becoming pretty central to Noemi being able to escape.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like she was there.
Oh,
She was like a plot device.
don't know about that. I think
yeah.
she's like kind of the mastermind because Noemi's like the brashness and is unapologetic and will come in and like expose you. But like she's more quietly planning and more like she's the one that goes to the healer who then she tells, if you don't hear from me in a week, send this letter. It's the reason why Noemi comes. And she manages to hold off and fend off their questions about where she got this tincture that is helping her not be susceptible to their mind control in a sense. And so she's kind of the main reason why they got out, which I agree with Casey on that.
She is not okay. I agree. She is consistently trying to save herself and then Noemi, but I think the reason they probably, my opinion is, they would have both been screwed without Francis.
Well, yes,
Yeah.
that's true.
So Francis is the reason they got out.
Yes. Well, I guess that is good writing then because they're all the reason they got out.
Right.
Like,
Yeah.
it could not have happened without any of the three. So they were all really useful and purposeful in the novel. I feel like we should give a disclaimer now just for the second half of the book. So we all are on consensus. It turns out the mold and the fungus and the mushrooms are a part of the house, and the house is like this living being because of the sacrifice of Howard's first wife. And Howard is like 300 years old because he's become like the master of the fungus and the mind of the fungus. And so he's been able to stay alive and keep passing his consciousness through the fungi into his descendants.
The ones he doesn't eat.
Exactly, not the cannibalized babies. And so he like vomits the fungi into Noemi, and that is what officially makes her part of his like biological system that is tied to the house and is tied to his consciousness.
See, I feel queasy just thinking about that scene again.
Yeah, that
The
scene was the
scene,
one I was
that's the
talking about.
scene.
Yep.
He like
He shoots
oh
black sludge out of
my
his tongue as
gosh,
he makes out
yeah,
with
his like
her.
black
Oh. Bile
naked,
while he's naked
yeah,
and covered
his
in
naked
boils.
body, yeah, covered in these disgusting pus filled like fungus filled boils. I was like
I'm pretty sure I literally went, ew, while I was reading it, like sitting
yeah,
alone in a silent room.
I was
my
just like
face would have been
gagging.
just oh, just like horrified. I like my had a physical reaction to the scene.
Yeah, I had to stop my audio player in the car and I was just like, whoa, okay, I need to breathe.
Well written, because it definitely evoked some reaction.
And one of the reasons I loved it so much is that this is based off of real science of how fungi and mushrooms work. Mushrooms are all connected through like natural pathways under the earth and release spores that you breathe in, which is true. It's just that you can't actually mold yourself to a mushroom and then like take mind control and like force others to be in this weird mind control cult with you. That part doesn't exist, but
Yeah.
that is effectively how fungus and mushrooms
What? That
actually
doesn't
work.
exist?
What? You can't kill
Believe it
your
or
first you
not.
can't kill your first wife to make her the mind of the house?
Hey, if you trip
Believe it
hard
or
enough on a
not.
mushroom, it might exist.
Yeah, you will think it does for like for a few hours, but I really loved that there was some real science behind her ultimate plot twist.
Yeah. Science, colonialism, eugenics,
Yes.
anthropology, so much
Yes.
to unpack.
That actually brings us to the next question. How do you feel about the setting of the novel in the 1950s in Mexico? And I really liked it, partly because then it really roped in this like theme of colonialism and eugenics that are important to the novel and to the plot.
Yeah. I mean, it's like post-Mexican liberation and you hear it throughout, like the main family and the grandfather, and just being like, oh yeah, like our perfect blood, our perfect selves, like it's all you Mexicans are the reason why things went wrong and stuff like that. And you just hear echoes of, well, he talks about eugenics as a good thing, which
Oh yeah, the
obviously
first
young.
thing that character says is, "Oh, you're much darker than your cousin." What?
Yeah, which is a great characterization line because you immediately know what kind of person he is.
You're like, eugenics, cool. You're racist. Yeah, you're essentially glorifying Nazism, but cool, like whatever. But yeah, no, it's so perfect. Like the setting, like you don't see, like at least I don't read a lot of Mexican literature, which it's made me want to read it. But this is just so perfect scene setting and perfect like intersection of these topics to bring to a modern audience. I loved it.
Absolutely. Plus, just the lush, beautiful countryside and her just like descriptions of the culture in Mexico City and of the scene in the mountain. I really enjoyed
Her
that as well.
descriptions of the old creepy house. Like, I felt like I knew the layout of the house and exactly what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
We love descriptive storytelling, if you couldn't tell from our last five
I'm
episodes.
surprised Casey hasn't used her favorite world word world building.
World building, that is my favorite word.
I feel like we should start taking shots every time Casey says
Bet.
Hey, it's really important, okay? Nothing about the story is enjoyable without world
Editing the ACOTAR episode, I would have been drunk.
Oh my Lord.
Oh God. Okay, now I'm gonna have to stop saying it. I'm gonna have to be like all conscious
No,
about it in my
it's
head.
an important term. It's just funny. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, well, again, perfect segue. Speaking of world building, a lot of the books that we discuss have some element of fairy tale, of magic, of fantastic elements, different species, realities twisted, etc. And Catalina is obsessed with this gothic story with the princess and princess fairy tales. How do those things end up playing a role in the story? And do you enjoy how the author uses them?
So, yes, loved it, loved it, loved it. And also I loved that the first part is like this like perfect romance and like how she describes like Catalina telling her these perfect romances. And then as the book progresses, they still keep the fairy tale element, but then they like reference like Grimm Brothers fairy tales, which have really dark twists in them. So it's just like so perfect. Because they're just like, oh yeah, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, when you think Disney, which obviously didn't exist in 1950s Mexico. But I mean, some Disney did, but not like what we think of today. And but then you start hearing like your Grimm brothers and like, oh yeah, like the stepsisters cut off their toes and Cinderella and like in Rapunzel, they blinded the prince. Like it really is
Far
perfectly.
more into the woods than Disney.
Yes.
Also, I want to say on the topic of like the fairy tale element, this book achieved what History of Wild Places could not.
Damn straight.
Facts. The magical
Facts.
realism, nature magic thing, still, unbelievable, but like more believable because it was much more like actual magical realism, not like looking like magical realism and then being like a real explanation.
Yeah. Like you can disassociate from real life in this, and it's not like, oh, it's hypnotism. No, it's like magical mushrooms who are taking over and experiencing cognizance, I guess, in life.
Yeah, it gave me the spooky, Grimm Brother fairy tale vibe I thought I'd get from the other book.
Exactly. I agree with everything you two said. I also really like, Catherine, what you were mentioning, how you think it's, or Catalina obviously thought this was a fairy tale in like the Disney pure sense, and then it was like, no, this is a fairy tale in the Grimm sense.
We've been talking about world building, as Casey loves to call it. How taking shots, yes. How would you describe High Place? Because Catalina describes it as it stinks of decay, brims with every single evil and cruel sentiment. Is she right?
Yeah, I feel like
Yes,
I
she's
was
right.
personally being suffocated by carpets and drapes and creepy, dusty stuff. Like, I got that vibe.
Gold ooze
Yeah.
dripping from walls.
Oh, yeah.
You
The
could
pictures lining the
really.
walls that all look alike.
Yeah. She did a really great job of making it seem more and more oppressive as the book went on, with like everything just being in disrepair. And you know exactly what she means. Like, because you can kind of get that feeling now when you walk into like older people's homes or even government buildings that just haven't been maintained, and it has this like air of depression, and that's exactly what the mansion felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on a ghost tour at some historic site. That's it.
And it's so funny because like in the beginning of the novel, you get like the darkness and the grimness and the spookiness. And then towards like the middle, you kind of forget about all that and it's purposeful of that. And it's like you get used to the dark and grim, but then towards the end, it's all revealed and then it gets so much darker and
I
grimmer.
think it's partially because at the beginning, Noemi is far more suspicious of the house. And as the story goes on, she realizes she's far more suspicious of the people. But then she realizes they're all the same.
It's the
Yeah.
same. It's all
First time.
connected. The
Yeah.
gloom. The gloom.
First time I ever read the story where it was literally the house that was also contributing to it and not ghosts or not this character's mental illness. It literally was the house.
I
It was the
mean,
house.
technically, it was the fungus in the walls of the house and under the house, but yeah, she
Yes.
was being poisoned
And
by existing in the house.
yeah, and all the dead people whose minds were now a part of the fungus.
The dead people helped her, though.
The dead people did help her.
Well, some of them helped her. The author uses a lot of different but very specific phrases kind of throughout the course of the novel to drive the plot, like the Latin phrase for the family, the, I'm not going to say this right, et verbum caro factum est.
Close enough.
Yeah, I'm like, it's Latin. No one speaks it anymore. Give me some credit. So did you like her use of Latin in other languages?
I feel like the Gothic language helped with the Gothic vibe and the Gothic mentality of the characters. And yeah, I feel like it gave it that vibe with the family crest and stuff.
And I know, like, basically none of it is in Spanish, even though, like, they reference that they're speaking Spanish at some parts, but it feels so integrated that it almost feels like Spanish is a part of it. And, like, it's, like, almost trilingual, which is just super cool. And, like, the author, props to her for doing that. That's just really cool.
The Gloom doesn't speak Spanish.
Yeah. The Gloom is elitist.
Exactly. I loved that. I loved that, this all-powerful Moss had these weaknesses that they could exploit, and often they were weaknesses that came from literally like being white supremacists. Like they refused to learn Spanish, and that is what has allowed Noemi to and Francis to escape.
Mm-hmm.
I will say my one critique, the use of the snake eating its tail imagery. I was like, okay, I get it. Everything in the house. Everything in the house. If you see a circle, just assume I already know. I don't need you to.
I felt the same way. I was like, okay, overkill.
Is it Ouroboros or Ouroboros?
I don't speak Latin. Ouroboros. Yeah, I say Ouroboros, but that is the most uneducated opinion you could possibly.
I've seen it. Because that's the thing is I did actually want to discuss it because I also thought it was a little overkill. I understood the reference of the first reference just because I've read other books that have that sigil. Yes. So, A Discovery of Witches is one of my favorite trilogies, adult fantasy witchcraft trilogies. And they have the same thing. So I kind of knew what it was.
I mean, I understand she was using it so that later on she could use it to describe that like Howard was eating his children and like that's how life went on. But like, every time you turned a corner in the house, the friggin' snake was there.
Exactly. It was a very useful symbol, and I had already read about it in other stories as well. And it makes a lot of sense once you know the full plot of what's going on. But, like, yeah, like Haylin said, it was just overkill the amount of times it was brought up.
Yeah.
But good imagery about what life was actually going on. Like, it was under her nose the whole time.
I hate snakes. Just gonna say that now. Terrified of snakes.
I'm just glad this mansion wasn't full of spiders.
I would have been okay with that. Snakes really freak me out.
Yeah, snakes, spiders, and killer mold. That's
man.
Go for the mold every time.
So on the lines of spooky, creepy descriptiveness and all the themes in it, I think we've got vibes already, but like, do you like Gothic and horror fiction?
I do. I really do. If you follow our Instagram, which you should, at Busy Girls Pod, you already know that because of a book challenge we just did, Jane Eyre is one of my favorite books ever. And It is a lot like this book, where a very normal plot about the coming of age of a character turns into like an absolute psycho, crazy, what the hell is going on? There's vampires or something, kind of novel. So I was in it. I really like Gothic.
I already said I didn't, so this one surprised me that I liked this.
I'm like, I'll read it. Like, I've read Jane Eyre, Frankenstein, Dracula, Jekyll and Hyde, half of those of my own accord. But, like, for the most part, I don't actively seek it out. I like more fantasy. I knew this was going to be Gothic. I didn't quite expect how deep into the horror genre it would go. And I don't think I've necessarily read anything that deep into the horror genre. Final Girl Support Group is horror, but that's much more like
comedic.
Yeah, and it's like murder and stuff, not like mold and bodies being consumed by fungus, and I don't know. This was more psychological, I feel like, which made it creepier.
Yeah. I don't think I've read that much horror now that I think back to it. Mm-mm, I don't like gore, personally.
Right. So I would separate gothic and horror and say I much prefer gothic to horror.
Yes.
But I didn't hate this combo.
Yeah, I would say I agree. I haven't read a lot of scary novels as an adult, actually, for that reason. That I feel like sometimes they sacrifice building tension and conflict for gore. And I much prefer like a psychological thriller. But if you're talking about the classic gothic novels, like that's really how I fell in love with gothic, because back in the day, way back in the day, authors could not write and then the guts spilled out all over the floor. They had to be very psychological, which is how I grew to like the genre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is far more the gothic element. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the psychological component. I don't love when it's just like Jason goes murders all campers. Not my personal.
Yeah. And right. And it almost... and she's naked for some reason.
Yeah. The psychological element too in this book almost made her an unreliable narrator. Like at first she was reliable and then became an unreliable narrator because you never knew what was reality and what was not. And I found that really interesting and something I'm not sure I've ever seen in a book.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because also then you find out later that it is reality because they do control her dreams. So dreams are reality.
Yeah. Yes. You like don't know what to think. She doesn't know what to think. So it's very psychological in that aspect.
And then when you think back to her first dreams, which I just realized now, like the man standing over her, assessing her, the grandfather, that was actually happening in the gloom. And that's real effed up.
Yeah, it makes it more gross.
Yes. And there are rape scenes, basically, that take place in her dreams. And then it's really complicated because in the moment, like when the scene is happening, you're like, you don't understand how her dreams connect to what's going on in the house. So you are kind of aware that something insidious feels like it's happening and Noemi doesn't understand why. But then you learn later it's because they're deliberately trying to get to her and prey on her.
Right. Well, and then so interesting element to add to the psychological thing. It's not only is it just like spooky psychological, but there's like some real intellectual topics behind this. And so like we mentioned earlier, racism, eugenics, colonialism, the friggin' old white dude wants his line to be pure, but had to move to Mexico because he was in England and they were like, dude, you're up to some weird stuff. Get out. So I don't know. I felt like her intelligence was like anthropology and her knowledge played a huge part into her being able to eventually overcome the psychological aspect. What did you guys think of that?
I really liked it. I thought it was a great backdrop to the novel, which kind of like you said, added a lot of depth to it. Because even though it was like a fantastical plot, those are real things that happened. Like eugenics was like a real, you know, air quotes, scientific field that people really did use to back up white supremacy. The colonialism in Mexico was real, and the taking over of resources from white settlers was real. And so
right, I this guy just great. Came from Europe on the heels of World War II. Like Hitler and eugenics were very real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's really, I think that's what makes this book kind of one of the best gothic novels I've read personally, because it is so much deeper than just like a horror or a gothic novel. It also talks about like intersectionality of multiple different areas of class struggles, racism, eugenics, colonialism. Like it really just hits all of the boxes without you even realizing it until afterwards. And you're like dissecting it in your head and you're like, oh wow, like this is not talked about, and it's just so perfect.
Right, because all the workers, even the European workers, but especially like the Mexican workers they became to rely on, who were of a lower class, just died and no one ever checked in on them and no one cared.
The mulch.
And one of the first comments they make to Noemi is that she's darker. So it's like already playing off the idea of like, you know, Catalina's lighter skinned, and they immediately notice that.
Yeah. And like, for some reason I keep going back to Game of Thrones, but it reminds me of like the Targaryens and like their incestual lines, like the whole like marrying sisters, marrying cousins to make sure you keep that like blonde hair, blue eyes, essentially. And that's exactly what the grandfather did, which I guess he wasn't technically their grandfather. He was an aberration of future generations, of past generations, but
yeah, we never really figure out how many of him there have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's been related to like everyone in that family, which so is crazy.
And he either ate them or slept with them.
Ugh. Yeah. Sleeping with your like great, 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 great granddaughter. Not that sleeping with your sister is great.
Reproducing like, with your great, great, great granddaughter. I don't know.
Marrying both of your sisters.
This takes incest to a really new level. I didn't know
I could get there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was aggressive. So now that we're into the whole incestuous sort of the later parts of the novel, when you really find out what's going on, we kind of end up figuring out, or Noemi figures out, that the source of the whole family's power is Agnes, Howard's first wife. And it's really all connected to her original body being buried down in the house. How did you guys feel about that?
Okay, so it shows this weird story from the gloom of him with like these cave dwelling people worshiping the mushrooms, and he has to take this wife in order to get access to this eternal life, and the wife gets like pushed into the pit to become the mushroom or whatever. So like, you knew that when he moved over, like, there had to be some source to the mushrooms. And the whole time I was thinking, like, why don't they just go, like, kill whatever the source is? I didn't know it'd be Agnes, but I was just kind of... So once she was like, oh, I should burn this, I was like, yeah, no duh.
But it's, like... It's so much deeper because, like, Agnes in the gloom and, like, envisions and stuff, she knows that it's wrong what's going on. And, like, he's changed. He's different than he was before he entered the cave-dwelling people and became this, like, godlike figure. But there's also, because of what happened, there's pain there. And that's why the house acts the way it does. So there's just so much complexity. And that's when the house becomes, like, a character in itself, because it is Agnes and it's her pain of being in the situation.
And it's like, at the same time though, it's not even Agnes anymore. Yeah. It talks about like he's molded her like unconsciousness to be like this kind of evil entity.
Yeah.
And she's kind of herself trapped in this gloom with no way to scream for help other than like the buzzing noise.
Yeah.
Right. I really liked it because I felt like it recentered women and women's roles in this like very patriarchal structure that this man had, you know, deliberately made. Because all the women in the novel are just breeders. Like, he is very open about feeling that way. And so I kind of like that all the power and everything he's built off really ends up being the end all be all of it is Agnes. And there's actually a quote I want to read because I thought it was so creepy and so beautiful about Agnes. So here it goes. She was the snake biting its tail. She was a dreamer, eternally bound to a nightmare, eyes closed even when her eyes had turned to dust. Wow. I was like, oh my God. But yeah, she was the source of it all. So I liked it.
Yeah.
And were you surprised by that ending?
I felt, because like the scene Caitlin references where the woman is pushed into the pit, it didn't surprise me that it was Agnes. Because of that scene, I felt like somehow the house like was, its roots were with her. I did not see the whole part coming where they get to the crypt though and they burned her up and it burns everything up.
Yeah.
I didn't see it going down like that. I thought that they would just like burn the house down and be like, fuck it, we're out. I didn't know that they would even find Agnes.
I kind of just thought they'd get away. And quite frankly, I didn't think Francis would escape alive or with his mind intact or whatever. I guess technically, maybe in the future, he's not totally escaped. Like, we don't know if he's cured of the house or whatever, but I kind of thought Francis was going to die in the process.
I did too. Sure. Actually, for most of the book, I thought Francis was going to end up being an evil character.
Mm-hmm.
I kept waiting for him to flip.
Yeah, it played like that. I'm glad he didn't flip.
Yeah, for sure.
Me too. Me too. That was my second guess, though, was that he was going to escape but be brain dead because the mold, like, combusted in his body or whatever.
What I did not see coming was that they were going to try and take over his mind with Howard.
I didn't see that coming either.
I was like, oh, no.
That makes perfect sense.
It does. Right,
it made so much sense, but I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
There were parts that I could predict, but not enough. Like, I literally didn't have the full picture, and that was what's so great about this book.
Yeah, like, I think we knew they would, like, escape it and figure out how to get away. At least Noemi would. But, yeah, there were a lot of, like, weird plot twists and strange happenings I did not foresee.
Oh, yeah. The whole mold formed to human body thing, definitely I did not predict.
Shooting pus out of your tongue and the people to bring them into your mass conscious. Oh.
Yeah. No, I did not guess that. But on Francis and Noemi, do you guys like the relationship?
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that she learned how to be less vain because she kept talking about how plain he was and like not handsome like the famous people she usually dated. So it was like he was her way to overcome her character flaw, and you got a cute love story in the process.
Yeah, sweet little boy.
I did. I liked her affection for him. I don't know that I like loved the relationship though. Like, I don't know. I felt like it was a little unnecessary, but it was also cute, so I kind of let it go.
It's definitely some weird, like, Adam's Family vibes, like, dark, happy couple, weird kind of thing, hot woman, not so hot guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly how I felt about
secretly
it.
Secretly happy, they're forced to get married.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. I was like,
Yeah. Not mad
well,
at it.
At least but... she likes him.
Mm-hmm.
As long as she didn't have to marry Catalina's husband. Ugh.
I know.
Well, she didn't have to marry him. She just had to be raped by him.
Yeah. They were going to let him do whatever he wanted.
I really thought they were going to go through with it. I was very scared.
Oh, yeah.
I was too.
I was like, honestly, nothing's off the table. If she got impregnated by this fungus stuff, like, whatever, I could see it coming.
Me too, which is why the book is such a wild ride, is because you don't know which of these lanes the author is going to commit to.
Yeah. I like the way it ended. I like what she chose.
Yeah. I think it gives enough mystery in the ending, but also has some closure.
When there's still mystery, like, is the mold really, the fungus really gone from their minds? I don't know, but they're going to go at life together at the end, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it.
Well,
so
there you have it. We've discussed all of the novel.
We did the damn thing.
We did the damn thing.
So to summarize, if you're not a fan of horror, you probably won't like this book. Or you might. If you like gothic novels enough, you might like this twisty story because it's well written. Lots of trigger warnings, though, if you have a weak stomach.
I mean, I don't like gore, and I liked it, so if that says anything.
So do you guys have your suggestions for other novels?
I don't know anything like this book.
Yeah.
I'm looking through my list right now to see if I have something I can
like recommend. Obviously, Jane Eyre is, like, mentioned.
Yeah. Jane Eyre would be a good one.
Wuthering Heights, maybe.
Yeah.
Wuthering Heights. Yeah, that also comes up. Oh, I have one. In lieu of my co-hosts having some recommendations, I found two. Neither of them are, nothing can really come close to Mexican Gothic and what this book is. So they're not directly related, but one recommendation I'll give is The Girl on the Train, or The Girl on a Train, The Train, A Train, something like that, which was really popular a few years ago. That is a book where the main character comes across very crazy, and you're kind of aware that she's an unreliable narrator, but you also learn by the end of the novel that she's actually more right than you thought she was, which is kind of interesting. And it goes over a whole, it's also a murder mystery, and it involves her husband and these people she's obsessed with. So that's kind of a good one that has the same kind of psychological trend as Mexican Gothic. Another one I'll recommend is Alias Grace by Margaret Atwood. And this is not horror, but it's another one where you can't really tell what's going on with the main character. It's based off of something that really happened in Canada, I believe. And has since been turned into a movie or a TV show, I'm not sure. But the premise is that this woman is in prison for a murder, and it's unclear if she was part of the murder or just kind of became an unwilling participant in it. And it's about her psychologist and kind of him trying to figure that out as well. And you can never really tell. So I think those books kind of bring in sort of a psychological thriller, psychological horror aspect that others might like.
So I actually have a suggestion now that you say like psychological horror, psychological thriller. Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn.
Which I
It's,
have previously recommended.
yeah, you've previously recommended it, but I'm going to recommend it again because I think it correlates at
It
least
does.
to that psychological thriller. You don't really know what's happening, unreliable narrator. It's very different from Mexican Gothic. It just has that one similarity, but it, I think if you like Mexican Gothic, you would like that one. So.
Oh, I can do one more. So I'm looking through my list. My last one is another Gillian Flynn novel, Sharp Objects. Yet another semi-unreliable narrator and crazy psychological plot.
I mean, if you want to go with women being forced to bear children of white supremacists, you could read The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
LOL. Great. That's a good one.
That is a
Well,
good one.
all right.
I have a TV show recommendation I thought of.
Ooh.
It's not even
Okay.
necessarily the best TV show, but it has a very interesting premise. The 100, which was a CW show. The similar theme would be that the characters can, are at the will of their environment. Like, nature is what dictates, what will happen to them, and it like different forms through each season. Basically, they ruined Earth and lived in space, but had to go back down to Earth, and all this weird stuff starts happening. But so not the same in a lot of means, other than they're like subject to what their environment wills.
Okay, I like it. Well, there you have it. So our final disclaimer, these are just our opinions. If you hated the book, you thought it was too far, or you loved it and you didn't think we hyped it up enough, we love those opinions. This is a podcast where we just say what we think, but we want an open dialogue. That's what makes books fun, is that people can disagree.
Yeah, so follow us on all social media. We're at Busy Girls Pod. Join the discussion on whatever platform you prefer, or join us on Goodreads. We have a book discussion. Busy Girls Book Club Podcast is the name of the group. We have a website you can come and contact us on. And so that's busygirlspod.com and then busygirlspod@gmail.com if you want to send us a book recommendation or an opinion. And yeah, just talk to us. We want to be friends with fellow busy book readers.
Yeah, this is our first week of spooky season. So we're going to continue out the month with four more spooky books. So stay tuned for those.
I'm really not sure any of them will top this one, but
Probably.
they're still good, solid, popular picks that we're going to review.
All right. I'll throw a little teaser then. I just started We Were Liars, which is our book for next week. And I'm wrapped in. I'm pulled in. So it's going to be a good episode next week.
Ooh.
That one has an even bigger plot twist than this one.
Oh.
That's impressive.
Spooky. Something to look forward to. Ooh. No. We love fall.
I love fall.
Oh. We do. All right. Well, I'm Casey.
And I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Catherine.
Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.